This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we are at the community display created by blind and partially sighted people at Kelvin Hall. It's called Your Stories, How We Used to Use Things, and we're joined today by RNIB and Kelvin Hall staff to talk about the project. Can you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Jade Graham. I'm the programme manager here at Kelvin Hall.
And I'm Connor Joseph, the community coordinator for RNIB Scotland.
So can you talk us through how Kelvin Hall and RNIB first started working together?
Glasgow Museums reached out to us to hopefully work together to raise awareness around sight loss and vision impairment. From that point, I delivered a sight loss awareness session to hopefully make the staff and encourage them to be a bit more inclusive and engage with blind and partially sighted people. And it was a really natural process from there, where we then developed community visits on a monthly basis to each of the different venues across Glasgow Museums, and naturally from there we were invited to take part in this Your Stories project at Kelvin Hall, where the community could put on their own display and choose objects for the collection.
And from Kelvin Hall's perspective and Glasgow life, why was it so important to you to kind of get this training and platform these stories?
Kelvin Hall has been open for 10 years this November, and since the very beginning we have worked with different community groups to put on displays. It's really important for Glasgow Life Museums to work with the community curators, because we have about 1.2 million objects within our collections, and only a small percentage of these are out on display in all of our many museums. So what's really important is we've got so many objects within our stores that aren't on open display, and so we really like the public to come and connect with those collections. It is a civic collection that we have here, so it's owned by the people of Glasgow, and we do a lot of work to make sure that that's represented. So we were really keen to work with a group of community curators who the RNIB connected with us, and we wanted to work with the visually impaired community and get them to put on a display of what was important to them. So with this display, it's their stories, it's objects that they really connect with, and it's a bit of a sort of looking back on objects that they needed. And, you know, there was lots of conversation around new technologies and how, you know, everyone's got the whole world in their pocket with their phone these days. So it was really interesting to have a look at objects that they connected with and that made their lives a bit easier and a bit more entertaining before we had all of this modern technology.
Absolutely. And with such a huge collection of objects to choose from, where did you start in terms of what was offered to volunteers? Was it just from conversations around the tech they used, or did you have some objects that you let them handle and touch? How did that work?
So this was all led by, we've got an amazing learning and access member of staff called Laura McDonald. So she met with the group every couple of weeks for a couple of months and brought them into the stores, made them familiar with the objects, had a look at what a display is, how do we communicate objects to people. So she did all of the hard work behind the scenes and got the group, and then realised that they wanted it to be a display about objects that they used to use in the past. And from that she was able to bring out a range of objects, and they selected those objects. The other sort of level that's brought in is we have a conservation team at Glasgow Life Museums. Not everything can be handled, not everything can be out in open display, can be subject to light levels. So for something that can seem relatively straightforward, the amount of staff, you know, you've got logistics and technicians and conservation and the learning team. So there's quite a lot of work that goes into what can look like quite a simple display. But the most important part of that work is the community creators choosing the objects, writing the labels and telling the story. Because that's the most interesting thing to me about objects, are the stories behind them and how they connect with everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And Connor, what were some of your favourite stories that were shared by the people in the group?
I particularly quite enjoyed one of the community members talking about the giant talking calculator that we have. So in addition to it being overly large and have large print on it, it does also talk the numbers and the calculations out to you. And there was one story about a community member using this in school and all the rest of the class being able to copy their hard work and all their efforts because the rest of the class could hear what it was that they were working on and trying to calculate.
And how about you, Jade? What was one of your favourite objects that the community curators chose?
I love Nikki's story about the giant calculator as well. I think that's brilliant. But the one that resonated with me was Alison. when she was a teenager at school in Harrogate. She did some voluntary work at a local residential home for deafblind adults. She befriended a woman who'd been blind her entire life and gave her a little braille board to use when she went away to college in Edinburgh so that they could write her letters. Alison didn't know braille, but she had a little key to show her how to use the board and then ended up corresponding regularly. Alison also told us about the articles for the blinds, so that which it meant that there was no cost, which she said was really useful to her as a student with low funds, as they all are, and she was able to communicate. So I thought that was a really beautiful story about communicating and about someone else from the visually impaired community being able to sort of share her best practice and communicate in that way. I thought that was a lovely story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess one of the really special things about this project is that the community curators have not only chosen these stories to share with the public, but they also got to share stories together. How was it kind of being in the room with people, talking about all of their memories and going over objects?
It was really insightful to hear about things that we might not necessarily think about or consider all of the time. You know, a lot of the work that I do within the community is very much focused on supporting people directly through their sight loss journey, and sometimes we overlook the kind of day-to-day life that all of us have. So being able to listen to the stories that they have and how it relates to each of the objects was really meaningful, and it gave another level of kind of friendship, both, you know, but myself and the people I work with, and also to each other, the folks in the group that were working with one another.
And finally, Jade, there's a lot of great accessibility features in this display that Kelvin Hall has put in place with some of these conversations and some of the training. Can you talk us through some of these aspects and how you'll integrate these going forward?
Of course, although this is one of Glasgow Life Museum's sort of smaller displays, we, from the get-go, we really wanted to make sure that we did operated in best practice, so that, for example, when we're reopening the People's Palace, that the museum's team can learn from that, as well as all of our other museums. And these ideas were given to us by the community curators. There's certain things that you, not being from the community, you wouldn't think, and they are kind of relatively easy fixes, and this is what's so invaluable about working with the community curators. So our labels, for example, are on a yellow background rather than a white background. We've increased the font on them so they're a bit easier to read. We had some staff team who'd recently went through training, vocalised training, and so we brought them on board and they did audio descriptions. So there's wee QR codes on the exhibition, and it has an audio description to all of the objects within the display. We've also got on our main panel, where we talk a wee bit about the sort of overview, and we've got a wee QR code there. We made a film with the community curators that we've got access to, which has got subtitles. We also have the information on Braille, which is available within the display. But we also worked with the National Library of Scotland Sound Archive, and we interviewed the community curators, and we've got a wee listening post. It's like an old-fashioned telephone, and you're able to listen to some of the community curators' experiences and stories that way. So we just wanted to make sure that there was as many different formats as we could, and to make it as accessible as possible, and we hope we've done that.
Well, thank you so much, Connor and Jade, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.